We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Play action down the middle of the field. It is Robinson into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. Second down and lofting it beautifully as Trubisky into the hands of Robinson. And he's across midfield all the way up to the 45-yard line.
2020 for us looks like getting back to the playoffs and our number one goal, which is winning the division. You know, but I think we have a lot to build on, and I think that we'll be back where we want to be this season.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
With Spiegs in for Mac, I'm Danny Parkins. In an hour, Hub Arkish will join us. In 90 minutes, Ben Golliver covers the NBA for the Washington Post. He is in the bubble. We'll get a bubble report. We were just going over the starting pitchers on both sides of town, where they compare to the rest of the league. The Athletic pulled 20 executive scouts or executives and scouts and people like that in the game of baseball. And I kind of want to do the same thing now for the Bears' best offensive player, and that is Allen Robinson, because there's been talk recently. Bill Barnwell had the Bears' offensive weapons ranked 28th in the NFL. LaDainian Tomlinson had some harsh words to say on the NFL Network about the Bears' wide receivers, and Allen Robinson took to Twitter and was like, it must be a slow news day. They're just opening their mouth and saying things. There's a lot of really damn good receivers in the NFL. It's kind of like point guard in the NBA, where it's as deep as it's ever been, because the league is more of a passing, right? It's more of a the NBA opened up. There was no more hand checking, so it became a more perimeter dominated game. So super athletic point guards were all the rage. Like the example that I always use to talk about the explosion of point guards in the NBA was, for years, Damian Lillard wasn't an all-star in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
If you watch Damian Lillard play, he's absolutely absurd. In the NFL for receivers, Chris Godwin's the number two wide receiver on the Bucs. He's incredible. Like, he might be better. He might be on the same tier as Allen Robinson.
Don't you think it's so difficult, though, to truly gauge quality at that position when you get to the upper tiers? Like, you know, that guy's good, that guy's not good. I mean, you can see those kind of things, and you can separate at other tiers. But once you get towards the top, you're talking about system, obviously quarterback. You're talking about other weapons and how they play. I mean, it's such a complementary game, and offensive success is dictated by so many factors. It becomes very difficult, in my opinion.
Of course, but that's I like to think about sports through the eyes of the front office executive. I think it's an interesting way to look at it. I had an NFL general manager one time tell me his job is to isolate individual talent amidst a team game, right? Baseball is a team game where it's pretty easy to isolate individual talent,
right?
Because it comes down to batter v. pitcher, right? And the guy, whoever's hitting fifth in your lineup doesn't really affect who's hitting second in your lineup. It's an individual sport that we call a team sport, whereas football is the ultimate team game. So isolating and evaluating individual performance is much tougher in football in that sense.
I wouldn't say masquerading. I'd say baseball is the perfect blend of individual achievement within the team concept. But hey, that's me. We're just parsing words about our game. In terms of basketball, and I meant that for Tani and Shep. In terms of basketball, a point guard, or you could argue a point forward or somebody who dictates the offense that much, that is a much easier position to gauge than other positions in the NBA, and certainly easier than wide receiver to gauge. Like, you can say he created this much, he did this, this is what he does when he has the ball, because he's initiating the action as opposed to being so dependent.
Yeah, and basketball is more positionless now, right? The 6'10 guy who can shoot threes and brings the ball up the court, it's not, oh, there's only one of those, it's Scottie Pippen. Or, that's Lamar Odom's job. Like, every team has, if Lauri Markkanen brings the ball across half court, it's not completely ridiculous for the Bulls. So, how many receivers, that's exactly right. Like, Tyreek Hill's a good example. Tyreek Hill is an incredible wide receiver, but he also is playing with the best quarterback in the best offense in the league. So, like, if you flipped the two of them, right, and you put Tyreek Hill on the Bears and Allen Robinson on the Chiefs, does Allen Robinson outperform what Tyreek Hill currently is doing in Kansas City?
See, that's so hard for me because the body types and skill sets are different as well. Like, I wouldn't. Like, if we're going to do that with Allen Robinson, I'd want to think about somebody who's like, what, 6'2", 220. How tall is Michael Thomas? Like, what would Allen Robinson do running the same routes in the same system with Drew Brees in New Orleans? Like, that feels like a body-wise and skill set-wise in terms of the completeness of a route runner. I mean, because Tyreek has...
Yeah, Michael Thomas is Allen Robinson. He's 6'3", 205. Allen Robinson's 6'2", 220. So I mean, 15, Robinson's a little bigger than Michael Thomas, but they are very, very similar.
So I would say that Allen Robinson would have 100% of the success of Michael Thomas if he were down there in that system. I think he's every bit as good as Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas just set the record for receptions in a year.
Yeah.
So that's really high praise. The guy never drops the ball, but I mean, Allen Robinson's drop percentage is like a tick under 5%, so he basically never drops the ball either. But yeah, Michael, so to your point, Michael Thomas will be the first wide receiver taken in fantasy football drafts this year, and Allen Robinson will probably be somewhere between 10 and 15.
Right.
That's not because there's that much of a gap in terms of the talent, but there's that much of a gap in terms of the system. And that is not to evaluate the performance of these guys based on fantasy, but just to make it explainable to anyone else in the audience, that's probably the gap statistically in the two guys.
Am I undervaluing Michael Thomas? Is there something about his separation and his hands that makes him truly special as compared to five or six guys that I think he's similar to? You know what I mean? Like, would Amari Cooper have as much production in New Orleans as Michael Thomas does? Like, there's, you know, maybe there's something special about him that I'm not wrapping my hand around or my head around.
I think Michael Thomas is incredible. Like, he's always open. He never drops the ball. The Allen Robinson last year, I think, was like 150 targets, right? And that was on a system where everything was broken and it was terrible and everybody knew you were force feeding it to him.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas was like, I'll pull it up to get it exact, but I want to say it was like 200 targets.
It's
like,
crazy.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
That is in part because Alvin Kamara can run, and it's in part because of scheme and what the game situation often is, and because
185 targets for Michael Thomas with 149 catches, 1,725 yards. So what you're hitting at is the genesis of what I'm trying to drive at, right? Allen Robinson last year was 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. Michael Thomas was 1,700 yards and 9 touchdowns. Does Allen Robinson have 600 more receiving yards if he's in New Orleans? That strikes me as a little high, but it's probably pretty damn close.
Yeah,
they're probably pretty similar.
He could probably get there.
Yeah.
Who's the, if you could have one wide receiver in this entire league, I'm not taking Michael Thomas. If I can only have one wide receiver in this entire league, for me, it's the guy that Bill O'Brien just gave up on for specious weird reasons. DeAndre Hopkins to me has like outrageous hands, can run absolutely any pattern, has the speed. I'm sure he's not as fast on the books as Tyreek Hill, but I know that he can take a 7 yard slant 80 yards. In a heartbeat, and just his body control on the sidelines and anywhere and everywhere is as good as I've ever seen from anyone.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Hopkins has the best hands in the NFL. He catches everything. I'd probably take Julio, because Julio is there. No one can guard him one on one, and as a blocker in the run game, He's such a freak of nature that somehow he's been underrated because his touchdown numbers have been fluky, but that's not his fault. That you know what I mean? So I think Julio, when combining everything, size, speed, catch radius, run blocking, I think Julio Jones is the most talented guy.
Plus, in terms of a weapon, talk about a coverage dictator inside the 10 or inside the 5.
Yeah,
everybody like they did for Calvin Johnson, like they did for Gronk in New England. Everyone must know on that defense where Julio is, and then you can play off of that in any number of ways. It's a weapon of outrageous proportions.
And then the guy we mentioned, though, like Tyreek Hill is probably the guy I would choose for Pat Mahomes. Like if you said the Chiefs can have Julio, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, they can have anyone. I think because of Mahomes' arm strength, you choose the fastest receiver who's the best. Like, there are guys who maybe run a tenth of a second faster, but they can't catch the damn ball, right? Like, that's been Ted Ginn's problem. Ted Ginn has a 10-year career in the NFL because of his incredible speed, but he drops like 15% of the balls that are thrown to him. So he can't catch, but he's always open because he's really fast.
Boy,
Tyreek Hill catches basically everything, and he's really fast.
Yeah, that Chiefs thing is a good mix. The ability to have Travis Kelce underneath wherever Tyreek Hill goes is really nice, isn't it? It sounds like
it works out nicely. And how Travis Kelce's like best friends with Pat Mahomes, and so they just have perfect chemistry on
everything. They got a thing, they got a timing, and all that. Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. They're probably going to be pretty good for a little while. That was good.
And they were able to re-sign Chris Jones today for
how?
80- yeah, I know.
With whose money? What are they doing? How do they do that? I didn't think they were going to be able to do that.
Yeah, no one in Kansas City did either. And I don't think, Chris Jones definitely came down from his asking price, because at the beginning he was wanting to get paid like Aaron Donald, and that was never going to happen. And so he came down significantly. But he's getting paid like a top 10 defensive lineman in the NFL, which he is.
Any doubt in your mind ever during that game? Never. Not the whole game. I ride up the defense when we went down 10 and told them, we make one stop, we don't win the game. And that's what we did.
We want to take this time to apologize for some of the language in the post-game interviews.
Yeah.
Caught up in the excitement were a couple of Kansas City players, but nonetheless, our sincerest apologies to you, the listeners.
Thank you, Kevin. We should grab that. We want to apologize for the language and just have that ready for these baseball broadcasts when they start.
Since
it's going
to
be everywhere. Yeah.
We're absolutely going
to
need it.
All right. So to take you back to your initial question in terms of where Allen Robinson is, I would suspect in a fantasy draft, he will go between 10th and 15th. As you said, do rankings, I mean, true rankings of quality of player, I don't know where you're looking, if you're looking at one, but I want my rankings of players to be better than fantasy rankings. Where does Pro Football Focus have them? I wonder.
I don't have that, but let me give you a couple of stats that I put together and saw from various places on Allen Robinson in case people think to talk about him as a tier one guy is totally overrating him, okay?
Okay.
Last year, he was third in the NFL on contested catch percentage, better than Julio Jones, just behind Devontae Parker of the Dolphins and Kenny Golladay of the Lions.
So even when he's covered, he's still open. He catches the ball. Like, if the ball is thrown in his catch radius, even when he's covered, 93% of the time, he came down with the ball. He'll be 27 years old when the season starts, so he turns 27 in August, so he's younger than quite a few of these guys. He is a deep ball threat. We don't really see it here because Mitch Trubisky can't throw a deep ball, but you want to take a guess where he ranks receiving yards on balls that traveled 20 yards or more in the air since 2010?
This is Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson.
Receiving yards and balls that traveled 20 or more yards in the air. So with this, we are asking and trusting Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky to throw the ball 20 yards in the air.
Correct.
And have it be close enough to Allen Robinson for him to make a catch.
But for the whole decade. So you can have guys that had that played for the first 7 years of the decade and then retired. Or you can take, think of guys who maybe played all 10 years of it. It's like
okay,
the market.
So yeah, it's an even bigger pool than I think.
Yeah, it's an even bigger pool than just current guys. Yeah.
I'll go outside of the top 100.
Second. Isn't that insane? Right? It doesn't even feel possible that it's Tyreek Hill and then it's Allen Robinson.
Really?
I know.
All right, so
more than Jordy Nelson, more than Calvin Johnson, more than Stephon Diggs. Yeah.
How? So him and Hearns, when it was Allen Hearns and Allen Robinson, he must have been the beneficiary of all the deep stuff down there, and I just didn't pay close enough attention.
He had 1,700 yards that year and averaged 17 yards a catch, number one in the NFL. In terms of – so he's really damn good. He is an incredible – football player.
Do you have to make me look like that much of a jag? And
I set it up well, didn't
Danny. You set it up for me to go the other direction. Did I that to you with the aces list? Let's think about this. I mean, I could have engineered that conversation to embarrass you deeply, and I chose not to because I'm your partner for these 2 weeks.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And yet, here you are gleefully setting me up to be your idiot foil. You're Bud Abbott happily making me your Lou Costello for this conversation. Screw you.
I don't think you should be embarrassed by that. It's deceiving. It's a deceiving thing. And again, it's when the ball goes more than 20 yards. Like, I would have said Mike Evans. I would have said Mike Evans for sure. But he's above Mike Evans. It's only Tyreek Hill who's more than him. I mean, he did it in obviously a very short period of time. But it's... So I'll do it this way.
So he's good. He what you're saying is he's good and he's better than you think of him because of where he is.
Correct. Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and then I would still say when healthy, Odell Beckham Jr., but in terms of natural talent being better than him. But to me, he's every bit as good as Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Kenny Galladay, Chris Godwin, like any of those guys who will go in front of him in fantasy drafts. If you flipped Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson is every bit as good as Chris Godwin was last year, if not better.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kenny Galladay. Same thing with Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers just throws him the ball every damn time, and his touchdown numbers are obscene. I don't believe that Devontae Adams is a more talented player than Allen Robinson.
No. It's the chemistry. Devontae and Aaron have it figured out. They understand. Rodgers knows exactly, how many steps it's going to take and how many milliseconds it's going to take for Devontae to get somewhere. And I've seen them in games where Devontae just turns around and the ball is there and it's in the right spot and, it's the kind of thing you dream of as a wide receiver, and the kind of thing that Allen Robinson has never had as a wide receiver. Although
Correct.
He and Mitch have tried. He and Mitch have definitely tried.
But so
they've worked
so,
out together and they've done their thing together.
It's interesting, right, to think about. So do the Bears have a top 8 wide receiver talent in the NFL?
I think so.
I kind of do. Like Adam Thielen. Quietly a very good wide receiver division. Kenny Galladay, Adam Thielen, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson.
Where's Diggs now? Did he go to Buffalo?
Went to Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I really do think Minnesota drafted that Justin Jefferson kid from LSU who had 100 catches in a college season. He's ridiculous to replace Stephon Diggs. But it's when you think about it like that, and you realize that what he's put up with such bad quarterback play, but then he still has the age, and he's healthy, and he catches the ball when he's guarded. He'll go up and get it for you when you actually can throw a competent deep ball and keep it in play. It's a very short list of guys who are naturally more talented, independent of scheme, than Allen Robinson.
Yeah, no, this Allen Robinson appreciation segment has been quite enjoyable for me. Did you see the stat that Dan Orlovsky shared early this morning about Mitchell Trubisky? Did this make its way to you?
No, it did not.
That's something we got to keep in-house.
Well, no, Mitch, I'm going to share it right the hell now. There are four quarterbacks in the NFL over the last two seasons that in their games versus playoff teams had more turnovers than touchdowns. More turnovers than touchdowns when they played against teams that ended up in the playoffs.
Over the last how long?
Two seasons.
Okay.
Jameis Winston, the turnover champ.
Yeah, well, he's obvious. Right, Jameis. Hold on a second.
More turnovers than touchdowns against teams that ended up in the playoffs over the last two
seasons. So, I mean, I can read
seasons.
You better than you could read me. Trubisky has to be on this list.
Oh, he sure is. Oh, yeah, that's okay. why I'm doing it. Come on.
Right. You're right.
So, yeah, Jameis
with the – deserve that, Tanny.
Crazy interceptions last year.
Who are they waiting on? Who are they waiting on? Last two seasons, they're still waiting on him to step up. They've given him some of the best wide receivers and weaponry you can find. Improved it this year too by giving him a real good tight end to go along with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry.
Baker
Mayfield, more turnovers than touchdowns against playoff teams the last two seasons.
What about
and
Dak?
Your guy, Dak Prescott, is the fourth.
Really? Because, I mean, I remember I used to say he pads his stats against the bad teams, and whenever you take out those offensive linemen, he folds up. And, yeah, okay. Dak.
Trubisky, Jameis, Baker Mayfield, and Dak Prescott have more turnovers than touchdowns versus playoff teams over the last 2 years. Obviously, a lot of different factors can affect that.
Of course.
But it does – it fits with your sensibilities as you read that list. You're like, oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that checks
all those
out.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And I just – Allen Robinson's going to get paid. He's probably going to get paid by the Bears. But, man, I really hope Nick Foles is good because he deserves it. He deserves to have a legitimate quarterback who will throw him the ball.
Listen, a texter is pointing something out. Did you say go up and get it and just skip the opportunity to support the Guagi cause? Did that happen?
Might have.
Wow. I'm going to go get my $3.5 million t-shirt. It's in the other room and burn it. Burn it.
Whoa.
The disrespect for the creative legacy of Spiegel and Parkins. Next, you're going to tell me that the SoundCloud page is down with the Mitch album.
The Mitch album? I'll dedicate the whole hour to the Mitch album. Don't think I won't.
By the way, that's something that Pat Mahomes will never have. You know,
it's the only thing that his $503 million
cannot buy him.
The team's not winning, but at least now the fans are grinning. As we await Monday night, remember
that's not
how
good.
The giraffe.
Really?
I was just going to get good.
Risky day.
Here it is. Oh.
It can't die. One gunshot doesn't do it.
No.
Rifle shot cannot kill the Mitch album. It's been the victim of a lot of rifle shots through the years.
It's resilient. Yeah, whenever Tanny is asked to play a track, I think it suffers another wound. Understandably so, by the way.
Mahomes and Watson, they will never have albums written about them while they were just facing the very beginning of their career. Mitch always has that, and I hope he keeps that in house.
Speaking of a quarterback better than Mitch, there's a lot of options I could be going with here. One of them got very real and open and honest about what the task is in front of him this NFL season. We will examine together next on The Score.
Hey, Twitter world. It's me, OJ Mahomes.
Breaking Bears news. Cam Newton signs with the Bears. For more details on this huge story and what it means for the future of Mitch Trubisky as Bears starting quarterback.
That would have been fun. I admit I was rooting for it. Hey, if they're not going to win the Super Bowl, they may as well be really damn interesting. Hub Arkish in 30 minutes, a NBA bubble report in an hour. This segment on The Score brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. He's not the biggest story in the NFL this year, but he's definitely in the top five, right? Cam Newton replacing Tom Brady and teaming up with Bill Belichick and seeing how the hell that's going to work.
It's extremely compelling. So yeah, I mean, I think it's fascinating. His health obviously presages all of that. We don't exactly know what the health level is going to be, but man, when you think about all the different people that have gone to New England, and you're like, how's that going to work? And then it works, you know. Corey Dillon, obviously Randy Moss, and so many other guys. Like, I don't know about this personality. No, man, but Bill. Bill is awfully smart, and everybody walks in respecting Bill from a starting point. So he tends to make these things work pretty well. Antonio Brown notwithstanding,
and it doesn't look like anyone could have made that work. By the way, Antonio Brown, better than Allen Robinson. He's on that list with Julio, DeAndre Hopkins, like the very short list of three or four or five guys that I would say are actually better than A-Rob, but he's on the wrong side of 30 now, and you just can't trust him. But if he's healthy and playing, he was so productive for so long that I think you have to have him on that list.
Unfortunately, he's on the wrong side of stable right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think his career is very likely done. But before we can get to Cam, so Cam Newton opened up, and there was what was the show? It was a
YouTube thing a few different people were on it. Todd Gurley was on it. I think it was Odell's show or Odell's creation, but it was like a YouTube live thing with four or five different players sitting around and talking.
Very relaxed format. And Cam Newton, before we get to what he said about New England, his willingness to talk about how it kind of got ugly and where he withdrew in Carolina was pretty fascinating.
Okay, I get hurt. Okay, then they gave me the option. You know, I remember it like it was yesterday. I meet with Marty Herney, which is the GM, and Ron Rivera, the head coach, and it was like, we gonna go off of what you want. If you want to take a time off, we gonna let you take a time. I said, you know what was best for me? I'm gonna take a time off. Okay, now I walk into the facilities, man, we wish you, you know, we can't wait till you get back. Oh, yeah. Da 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 da. That's week. That's the first week. That's kind of the second week. Okay, they start winning, and I walk in. Like, I went from being a priority in the training room. It's like, hold on, hey, move your ass out of the way. Cam, come here, right here. Boom, we're going. So now I'm walking in the facility, and I'm like, okay, cool. Hey, my foot. And it's like, hold on real quick. I'm like, hold on. Then they, you know, quarterback having success. And to be honest with you, it's messing with him because I'm like, bro, don't let me throw you off. Yeah. Win, because I was thinking the whole time I was going to be able to, I wanted to go on IR to be able to get time.
To get fully right.
Fully right, and then come back and make a playoff push. Yeah. But I downplayed the severity of the injury. Okay. And now the question is, it's like, okay, I was having a lot of personal baggage with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I see how people looking, I see the conversations that's being had. You know, I got my little foot soldiers, my dogs that say like, hey bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Like, it's bad, bro. Like they really on your name. Like, and I'm like, bro, like for me, I'm a loving dude. Like, if I would never look at Odell and be like, if I was a receiver and he got eight catches for 98 or 112, and I'm another receiver, and I got one catch for 6 yards, and we win, oh, man, look, we turning up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's like I'm a winner. Yeah. You feel me? If I'm if TG the running back and I'm a running back and I'm supposed to be the third down spell and TG feeling it and he waved me off like, nah, bro, it's third down. So what? I just want to win. You feel me? So I'm seeing a situation where it's like for me, like I'm like, bro, like y'all forgetting about me, like. So in my situation, I'm seeing a quarterback take a team to the Super Bowl and win it, and he still ain't the guy. And I see a quarterback that goes 5-0, and he still ain't the guy. And I'm seeing my situation, and I'm like, what's so hard about y'all just to say, bro, this is our guy? You feel me?
Whether he's right or wrong, his willingness to share that is pretty insightful into how it must have felt. I mean, he's Cam Newton. He's an MVP. He's a guy who had a 15-1 season. He's the guy who has the most rushing touchdowns for a quarterback in the history of the sport. And he feels like he's getting Wally Pipped by Kyle Allen.
Yeah, and along the way, he's saying there, and I have no reason to think he wasn't saying to Kyle Allen, don't worry about this. Just go win, man. Go play. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Because Kyle Allen, nobody should have been having illusions at that time. We were in some of those conversations. I've been in some of those conversations. Wait a minute. Look, if Cam is not healthy, that's one thing. But if you're willing to throw away the possibility of what Cam can do for the future of Kyle Allen, what the hell is wrong with you? But I guess to them, they were looking for proof that a replacement-level quarterback would be fine, and then they wouldn't have to deal with whatever frustrates them about Cam. That is very compelling stuff.
Yeah, and I'm a Cam Newton fan. I've been honest with the audience about that for a long time. I think he's fascinating. I think he's likable. I really am rooting for him to be in the right situation and have, if his 30s in the NFL approach anything like his 20s, he will be a Hall of Famer. The question is just, can he have a long career as a passer as his athleticism wanes, and can he rely solely on that? Time will tell. He obviously landed in a good spot with Belichick for a year, which brings us to what he said. All right, Cam Newton, you're a high-profile dude. You're a polarizing guy, and now you've got to replace Tom Brady. How are you prepared for that?
We have to talk about the elephant in the room, and it's like, you know you who you coming after. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you Coach McDaniels, are you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now? All right, you know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog? You getting one of these ticked off dogs too? That's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man. The agent act like he was like, well, we gotta wait till it was this all type of, you know, issue. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm gonna take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm gonna commit to myself.
Wow, man, that is the ability to hear somebody in this circumstance. It's not even, it's better than like somebody just sitting there and giving it to you one on camera for Instagram. Like, I'm just gonna tell you my story. No. This is him. He's got to be accountable for these thoughts and these opinions and these feelings to those guys and to other guys around the league. This is his reality. This is how he paints it for him. And now he's got that motivation. Man, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm loving hearing every bit of this, every bit of this.
I agree. And the idea of him being like, and I told Bill Belichick, now you can call some things that you haven't been able to call before.
Well, McDaniels,
yeah. But he's like, yeah, but he did have Brady. He was probably willing to give up on the RPO in order to have Tom Brady. But yes, now he has the ability to do an entirely different thing. Like, that's the hubris of the great athlete, and even the athlete who isn't great but just has always been awesome. I love the story. Mario Chalmers used to say on the Heat that he thought he should take the final shot when he had Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh on the team. It's like, eh. Just bring the ball across half court and then get it to Bron. Like, that's Cam Newton saying, and I told McDaniels, you're going to be able to call some stuff that you haven't been able to call before. Like, yeah, but I was able to call plenty with that with that number 12.
We're able to do a lot of stuff, but still, but having the ability to know what you can do.
So when Odell Beckham says to Cam Newton, "Hey, let's talk about the elephant in the room," Cam's like, "Yeah, it's the elephant in the room, but what am I going to say? He's the greatest. Man. I'm just going to come in there and do my thing." It's a hell of a spot.
You know how much fun it's going to be if there's football to
get Guafi. The disclaimer out of the way.
Guafi, given uncertainty about future infection. Guafi. Yeah. That's my brand, and I'm sticking to it, whether Parkin sports it or not. So you know how much fun it's going to be to compare the offensive success and efficiency of Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, and the Bucks versus Cam Newton, Josh McDaniels, and the Pats. You know, and Brady's got a lot more. In terms of weaponry, man, dude's got Gronk now added to the mix with O.J. Howard, and he's got
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yes, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and Bruce Arians, who knows what the hell he's doing. But, man, to watch those two offenses and see how they're functioning is going to be an awful lot of fun.
I'll take Tampa's offense. Because of all of those skill guys that you mentioned. Cam's incredible. I still don't think Cam's 100% healthy. Just when he signed the contract he signed for, he's talking the right game, and he's making me less and less sure of my opinion. Uh-huh. But if Cam Newton is 100% healthy, it makes no sense why he got this far into the NFL offseason without getting a job.
Well, let's get a little closer and see where we are. But I think I might be willing to take New England in that mix. And I know that Tampa
offensive performance.
Yep. We'll have to pick a few parameters and dial it in a little bit. But you know, I here's the thing.
I'm willing to make that bet.
I thought Brady at times last year was trash.
I was
one of the guys watching him for full games being like, that dude has no authority throwing the ball down the field anymore. I'm sorry. That's just not even there. So, of course, the options are limited and people are compressed on him and all of that.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think that he is too, but there's a huge difference between what happened to the Patriots skill position guys last year and going to, I would say, the best wide receiver duo in the NFL and two tight ends and an offense that's like built around him. So I think he's set up to have a pretty good bounce back, but we'll talk to Hub about that coming up at 4 o'clock. Again, Ben Golliver from the NBA bubble around 4:30. Piece of Cubs news we should pass along next on The Score.
David, is Rizzo going to play tonight?
No. Riz is after his live BP the other day, just a little bit. Once he's cooled down, a little bit of that stiffness came back. So he's still day to day, trying to get some tests run and see where he's at.
That's Cubs manager David Ross, who, when he missed the workout as his test did not come back, did you see where he watched it from?
No.
They got him on a rooftop.
So plenty of room for social distancing over there on an empty rooftop.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
The Ricketts own all the buildings now, so they just got him up on one of the rooftops.
Not all of them, but most of them. Well, that's awesome. I love that nugget because add that to the list of creative things that ball clubs are doing to try and manage the situation, right? Like the guys in Boston giving every player a suite as their locker instead of making them use a locker room and having to figure out how to do that. So
correct. Yeah. Like so the creative way there. But Anthony Rizzo's in mid-season form with back soreness. And as someone who has chronic back soreness and doesn't have a job that requires torque, like I empathize with him greatly. I don't get why they're even trying for him to be a part of this summer camp. Dude, he needs to rest. He does not need to be gearing up and doing it. Just play him when he's ready. It's a 60-game season. This is a chronic issue for him. Shut him down. He does not need to play in the intra-squad game that is airing Sunday on The Score against the White Sox or whatever the hell it is.
Well, they're leaning towards that right now. And they're shutting him down right now. So tests. What is I don't like the idea of tests needing to happen. It's not like your back is sore. Let's do some tests. What do you do?
Well, not if it's the same thing that it's always been. They should have a treatment plan in place. But if it's a sharper pain, or if it's shooting down to somewhere else, or they think it's maybe higher or lower than it normally is, I don't know. But yeah, if it's the same thing that he's always had, you would think they would know how to treat it right now.
They would know what
to
do, and they would know exactly what it is. Right? Like, if
not a great sign.
No, they're not a great sign to hear them talk about tests, because I'm thinking that means, well, is it muscular? Do they want to make sure there's no disc issue going on? Are you checking for nerves? Like, all those kind of things that would be different than what it's been in the past.
Yeah, but just shut that man down. So much of this, we've talked about it, right? The competitive advantage is going to be who stays healthy for the virus, but it's everything. Yeah. What pitchers don't get hurt with starting and stopping and ramping up and all of that? What guys don't have those little chronic issues, right? Wilson Contreras, who we could talk about more in depth maybe a little bit later, he said he wants to play all 60 games. It's like, it's only 60 games.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? He can play a little bit in the field. He can DH now.
DH, baby, when Vic is catching Darvish, because they got a thing, and Contreras is cool that they have a thing. Because he remembers when he and John Lester had a thing. He remembers that John Lester and David Ross had a thing. You know, it's just like just the way some people are going to roll. So good for him for not worrying about it. He'll have some time at third or in left or first base. Although Wilson Contreras in the outfield always brings to mind that horrific night where he bobbled. It was against the Brewers, I think, where he bobbled and things got way uglier than they needed to be and cost them a ball.
I don't need Wilson Contreras in the outfield. I'm fine with when he's not catching, he's DHing, or he's getting a true day off if the bat is cold. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Already got enough adventures with Schwarber out there.
Yeah, so I think Wilson could play every day, and that bat probably deserves to play every day. Remember that other thing we were talking about the testing going on in Utah and Utah only? Because there's not that many testing sites that know how to do what baseball needs to have done in terms of the volume. And you were like, how about one more site? And apparently David Ross talked about that MLB has shared with him there might be a second site. Let's hear that, Chris.
I think every day more and more improvements. There's another site opening up on the East Coast that should help out a lot, you know, just from just sheerly the time zone constraints where, you know, the Utah lab may not open till it's like 10:30 our time, I believe. So it's 8:30 there. So it's hard to hear back if you have an early day. I mean, there's going to be adjustments throughout it. We've got an early work day tomorrow as well, with expecting some tests back tonight. So we're just going to have to adjust as this thing, you know, continues to move forward. But I really do. Every time these adjustments come up, we're on the phone with MLB and so is every other club, just making sure that they're ironing out as much as they possibly can. And to my knowledge, every topic that's kind of been a hurdle so far, they're on top of it and continue to try to make it better.
Oh, that's awesome. I love whenever there's a problem with some of this stuff, it usually comes down to humans, you know? And in this case, I'm picturing the dude who's like, look, I don't get there till 8:30, and then I'll look in my inbox and see the test results, and then I can forward them to you. All right, I gotta make coffee for my wife. I got a thing.
It's like, I gotta put a note in her lunch. I got things to do.
Can we expand the pool of people who can forward that email along to Mr. Ross, please? Can we expand that pool?
You know, I'm not an, it's like Larry David. I'm not an inventor. I'm an improver. I see something. I see where there's a problem. I see how I can fix it, or I can improve it. How did baseball have 6 months or 4 months, whatever it was, to come up with this plan? And they're like, Utah, one site, one guy,
because
one time zone.
Well, it's a big deal because it's the saliva test that they helped develop, okay?
I know. Dang. They don't want to take any tests away from the public, which is good. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying. Take over a lab in Cleveland or St. Louis or Chicago. Take over a lab that's right next to an airport in the middle of the country.
It's just a building with DNA in it. That's all it is. Rob
Manfred. Exactly.
It's just a building with DNA. I love it. Like, they can't. A texter says, wait, you can't have the lab open a little earlier? What are they, a Dairy Queen franchise? Hey, I'm sorry. I really like a Swirly Q or whatever they call those things, but I can't have a Blizzard. Thank you. I prefer Swirly Q. I think they missed the mark.
One Oreo swirly cue. I believe that's what you're known for here.
Yes, two swirly cues. 815 Lance says, no. The new back stiffness test requires a saliva swab shoved all the way up your nose, and then they send it to Utah. Let's see why the back is stiff. Come here, Ant.
I forgot all about that. Hey, how many receivers are better than Allen Robinson? We'll ask Hubarkish next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.